This audio presentation is the teaching of Chaplain Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Maintaining Our Boundaries, was delivered on June 14th, 2020. Here now is Chaplain Frank.
If you need prayer or something's going on, you know, let us know. Yeah, reach out so that we can pray with you guys. We haven't stopped praying. We still got the prayer team going. We want to make sure that in this time we can do the prayers, and if something's going positive and we can give a praise report like Kahea did this morning, we want to put those out because you need to hear what God is doing in other people's lives so that you don't get discouraged. He may or may not have a blessing lined up for you in the moment, but that certainly doesn't mean that he isn't moving and that he's still at this time. He's doing wonderful things out there, and we want to be able to pray for you and support you, but also put that stuff out that when he does answer prayers and bless us or bless others, and we're aware of that, that we want to share that in the family because we all need that encouragement. We're all holding on to things. We're all going through tough times. We're all hurting, and I don't want to make all bumper stickers kind like we're all in this together because, you know, it's really an individual thing. And while we're all experiencing things, you really feel like you might be alone and that it's a desert. And we want to challenge that concept. We want to make sure that you understand you are hurting. We get that. That's what this world is about. It's a fallen place. But we love you and we want to support you. So please, please, please reach out to us so we can pray with you. We don't got to put, if you're uncomfortable going online and saying something, call us, stop us, let us know, okay? Alrighty. So a few weeks ago, I spoke on expanding our boundaries and being bold and aggressive and getting out and you know, asking the Lord to really let me get out there and do things. And so then when I was asked to come back up, I was like, all right, that's good. And then I had some other things working in the kind of in the hopper, as it would be, of messages. But God slowed me down, which I like when he does that because I don't always listen. And he said, hey, once I get you expanding and going, how are you going to maintain what you have? And I had to sit down because I'm like, what do you mean, maintain? He's like, how are you going to take care of that? Because if you can't take care of that, we're not going here. We're not going there. And that got me to really thinking about how are we going to maintain our boundaries? So that's our message today, of maintaining our boundaries. So as I was talking about expanding the boundaries, I want us to kind of look at how we maintain our boundaries and our territories that we've been entrusted with. I think, and I'm probably wrong, but I think it's common sense that as we grow and expand our area of influence, we have to have a plan to maintain what we have. And this takes lots of different forms, right? In the military, we'd need a plan how we would keep our base of operations secure and functioning as we pushed and expanded that front line. In your family, how do you ensure your marriage is strong and tended to as your family grows with children or extended family moves in or older family is coming back and you've got to like make your little growth, your family start to expand in numbers? How do you maintain those things? So I'm going to borrow a concept from Brian Tome. And he's a senior pastor at Crossroads Church in Ohio. And I don't know if you can see this really well, but this is his black book. And in it, it's got some different, so it's called Move, a Man Devotional. 66 prompts to kick your rear into gear. Men, this is for us. Okay, ladies, no grab this, but buy it for your husband. Brian Tome, T-O-M-E. This stuff is like graphic. It's short. It's not like nasty, but it's like in our face. Every time I read it, and it's a short read, there's only 66 in them. So you can imagine it's in nice big print. I can read this. You can read this, okay? Gentlemen, you got to read this stuff. It's so awesome to read it. It's a biblical black book of sorts. It's got a lot of scripture, obviously, but it's motivating. It's convicting. And it's written in a language by a man for men. It's unapologetic. It's straight in your face, yet it's simple and effective, and it's designed to move men into action for the Lord. I'm not getting paid anything or anything to do that. It's just an unselfish prompt. It's just a really good book to have. There's lots of devotionals. I like these ones that are slightly different and can speak to me. So what Pastor Tome speaks to is what he calls downward mobility. It's a biblically based and scripturally sound concept. It's simple, but it requires a lot of sacrifice on our part because you have to maintain and expand your boundaries of influence. So our first scripture that we pull from, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So this is out of Luke, and we all know this story, right? It's the birth of Christ. But you got to keep the word downward mobility in mind. You need to check this out. We can't miss this because it's just incredible and unbelievable. Our Lord, our God, our Savior, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, whom every knee will bow, every tongue will confess as reigning King for eternity. This guy made a free, conscious decision to step down from his throne and live among us. And not as who he truly is as a king, but as a commoner like all of us. No special treatment, no servants, no riches, no entitlements. So let's back up. Swaddling cloth. Have you ever thought about what this means or looked it up? It's a nice little, right? It's a cute little word, swaddling cloth. If I say it nicely or I put an accent, he was wrapped in swaddling cloth. It sounds neat, but it wasn't. These are rags. These are torn, dirty pieces of odd-shaped cloth and sack and material that's well past its original use. You know, you kind of like have the T-shirt that no fit no more, that's all dirtied and stained, and it ends up in my garage as my shop rag. And then once it's done with the rag, I still find more use for it. That's a swaddling cloth. That was his birth blanket. He became an innocent newborn, subject to the harshest of elements and the times and the toils. This first act in stepping down was to be robed in filthy rags, not in splendor, not in majesty, not in glory. He chose rags. And for another visual at the same time, there was no room at the inn. Remember, there was the count. They had to go back to your original city. They had to count the people so they knew how to tax you, essentially. So Joseph and Mary, who aren't yet married, right? You're tracking this, right? She's a teenager who's pregnant with a guy who doesn't know how his wife or his fiance is pregnant, show up at an inn where they're going to give birth. No more room. So the innkeeper allowed them to use the animal stable. Jesus wasn't born in a hospital. He wasn't in a room that was converted into a birthing room. There weren't attendants there. There weren't assistants in there. It was an unsanitary animal pen with animals in there. But hold on, there's more. It's like the TV commercial. But wait, there's more. Once wrapped in these rags, he was placed in the manger. And you know all the nativity scenes we have? They have that sort of makeshift bassinet that looks like an X with a V, and, you know, they laid the baby Jesus in there. We all picture that, right? Heads are nodding. We know what that is, right? I see heads nodding. It's a feeding trough. A feeding trough. So that's where the animals ate. It's V-shaped. It holds the grain and the feed for the livestock and the horses and the cows, which were probably watching all this and going, bro, you're in my food. So I was going, what's the significance here? It's pretty simple. God took a step backwards. He took a huge leap backwards, actually. He reversed his mobility and he went mobile down. His birth was one that even a poor person would shake their head and go, man, that is disgusting. There wasn't a soft blue birthing blanket, just filthy rags in an animal pen. There was not a warm incubator or a bed, but a feeding trough for his first night's sleep. Likely a pile of hay filled with rats and bugs for Mary and Joseph to try to catch a few winks in. The king became a servant. He voluntarily placed himself into a position alongside us so he could advance his kingdom and win the lost in a broken world. So my friends, my question is, when's the last time you purposely took steps backwards to a place and a time or a condition in your past in order to secure and expand your boundary and your influence? when I started to think on this and what that actually meant, like my boots on the ground, Frank, what does this mean for you right here, right now? Yeah, Bev, our rational emotive therapy thing. Right here, right now, what's this mean? I had to sit for a while. I don't like going backwards. I feel like I've done that, been there, left it. I'm better. I'm moving up, on, and going, right? Faster, better, quicker. For me, I like my air-conditioned office at school because my radiator just tends to run hot. My wife is always like, man, you're running warm. I just run warm. I run very hot. So the AC in the office at school, I love it. Because it's calm, cool, and collected. Keeps me comfortable. I can do better work. I can operate when it's hot. It just takes me a different way to kind of get into that mode. But if my work isn't in the classroom, but I have to be in the cafeteria or out on the playground or in line while they're heading to resources, it's hot, it's noisy, it's distracting. I can't pay attention. I can't imagine how an elementary kid is going to pay attention. I'm losing it. But I have to step down sometimes because that's where my work is. It's not ideal conditions for therapy. You know, there's not a couch and it's quiet and I've got a little white noisemaker outside and we're speaking in nice hushed tones, getting into some deep stuff. It's crazy. And we're trying to regulate and take care of ourselves. But that's where my students are. That's their reality. So that's where I have to do my work. My wife and I have made sure that we're doing all the things we can to be healthy and safe at this time, clean and cautious as the pandemic has swept through the world. But not only her, you know, all of our first responders and stuff. 3 days a week for 12 hours straight, she goes to work at night. She goes to work, she gets to go to work to help with dying people and their families who are suffering from sometimes known and unknown health conditions. Their systems are compromised and stressed, and they need nursing care to make it through the day. Some families right now, they're unable to visit there at the facility. And we know this, right? They've limited how many people can visit, how many in the room, certain ages, the distancing, all these things are going on for our protection. And I'm not bagging on that. That's the reality we're at. Yet everyone who's out there doing this, they're doing it quietly and diligently to serve others. That's not upward mobility. They're stepping back. Doc's doing it at his work. Pastor's wife is doing it there. They're stepping back in order to serve every day. Our God is really good to us. He left us a living example of how it should be done. He just did not talk the talk. He walked it. He set an example by which all other examples are measured by. He stepped up by stepping down. He proved all lives matter because he died for everyone, even when they don't believe in him. He didn't pick color, race, or creed. He served. He gave. He sacrificed. He demonstrated a model so simple and effective, yet as we ourselves expand and we gain influence and we grow our boundaries, we quickly forget what it takes to maintain what we've been blessed with. So we have to be ready, willing, and able to use this concept of downward mobility as an effective tool to simultaneously gain and expand. Lift up others, pay it forward, give away instead of store up. Seek humility for clarity of purpose. So where does that leave us? Number two, Isaiah. Here I am, send me. Yeah, pastor's spoken to this before, so has Pastor Aaron, right? You raise your hand. Oh, I'm ready, Lord. I want to get in. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to fight. And then there's an opportunity, and you're like, yeah, put me in, God. I'm ready to go. I'm all set. And then there's an opportunity. And you're like, I'm ready, Lord. Just let me know. I'm all set to go. And yet there's another opportunity that goes by. At this time in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is a prophet, and he's recalling a vision and dream he had. And he knew he wasn't ready or worthy to serve the Lord, but he quickly and boldly answered the call to be sent out. He was aware of his shortcomings, but he said, I'll go. I'll get in there. Each of us is also aware of our sins, but that doesn't disqualify us. We remain ready and available for kingdom work. God purified Isaiah using a coal of incense as a reminder of the refiner's fire. It can be painful experience as we're purified and made into something precious. We understand in the Bible there's lots of references to the refining fire, and we know what that means like, right? There's pounding, there's burning, there's bending, it's removing the impurities to get to something pure, and it's usually referenced in gold and silver in the smelting process. That's the refiner's fire. God always qualifies those he calls. Yes, a lot of us go through life and you get the education and you get the experience and you have certain things that are required of certain jobs. But what we're talking about is for kingdom work. Those things might be important, but that's not what God is looking at. He's checking your heart condition. And if he calls you, you're qualified. That's it. That's all there is to it. In verse 9, we're provided some insight about our fallen world, where many will listen but not perceive, and many will look but not understand. There's a lot of that going on. That's just the condition of the world we're in. As we go forth and make disciples, as we expand our boundaries, there are going to be instances that are a challenge. You're going to meet resistance. Our goal is to be available and be present and assist in opportunities for the Holy Spirit to minister to the lost. Jesus saves. I just try to be a vessel to allow that to happen, that mustard seed concept. Don't get discouraged when you're out there and you're running into the brick walls and you're being attacked and you're not finding momentum. That's all a smokescreen because the devil wants you to give up. Stand firm and kick him down. You are right where you need to be, my friends. So as we're sent out, we need to know how we keep what we have and yet expand. There's no sense that we make attempts to expand while at the same time we're losing ground back home. It doesn't make sense. Yes, there's an ebb and flow, but we're talking about, are you losing everything as you're trying to expand? Sending out does not necessarily mean across the globe. Opportunities arise when you're out shopping or enjoying the beach, picking up our kids after school or from a school event. You can find opportunities to serve, lift up, and encourage every single day just in your regular routine. Being sent can be in another room in your house as you're walking by and like there's laundry to get folded. Fold the laundry. Gentlemen, it's okay. Serve. Wash the car. Do those things. Those are all opportunities to serve. Maintain what you have. Take care of the blessings you've got. Start small. Next time you're at work or you're shopping or you're outside enjoying the weather, look around. See what you can see and address. Don't move yet. Don't go into action. Just observe. See what comes to you. Go, is there anything out here I might be able to do for my neighbor, for myself? For my kids. Just be observant. See what comes. Meditate on that and then figure out what you can easily do. Don't start with the hard stuff. Stuff that you can accomplish easy. Pray upon it. Seek guidance if those tasks seem large. Get things done. And if nothing's really coming, at least be available and ready to act. Number 3. This is important and we're doing it. Observe the Sabbath. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. We have an opportunity now to get back out here and to serve the Lord. And there's some folks that aren't able, aren't willing yet, whatever their comfort level, and that's fine. But we need to continue to observe this. And this isn't just the act of church itself, but loving on each other and gathering and being supportive to each other. This seems a little opposite of today's message, but it's vital. If we're not caring for ourselves spiritually and physically, we're not ready to serve. You have to have time to be with God each week, each day, all the time. Yeah, Scripture talks about praying without ceasing. It's an ongoing conversation with God. Get into that. Dedicate time to rest and rejuvenate. If we are tired and we are worn out, we cannot do any kingdom work. If this COVID pandemic has taught us anything, it's our overall health is important, and we have to take steps for self-care. As our services restart, they've taken on new means of access and use. Not everyone's willing or able to get here physically, but still require fellowship, They're online. We're going to continue to do that. They're going to reach out. They might want to come spread out. You can come and sit in your car and listen. At least you're close by. So how are you helping to strengthen our connectedness? Are you thinking of starting that small group that's been on your heart forever and ever and ever? Now's a great time to start a small group because you already know in your small group who's safe and healthy and you can have them around. Maybe Sunday morning at 8:45 to set up the computer, have your neighbors come over for coffee and breakfast, do a little trivia, worship and a message. You can do that at home. That'd be great. We might miss you here, but if we know you're at home and your neighbor's hanging out, wow. That would just make us excited to go, yep, there's a little extra space here, but so-and-so's at home because they're having a small group this morning. Number four, and I've done this, I've spoken on this one before, one of my most favorite scriptures. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. In other words, Frank makes a lot of plans, period, right? This is me, just right here. I just make a lot of plans. But if I forget in Proverbs 16:9 that the Lord has to direct my steps, I'm in a lot of trouble. We have to remember the importance that God places when we set about maintaining and expanding our boundaries. I like lists, and I've told you this. I have lists for work, for home, for the race car, and I make lists just to make lists. And if I'm doing something and an opportunity pops up and I take care of this little task and it's not on my list, I write it down just so I can cross it off my list because, shoot, I want credit. You know? And then I go, yeah, honey, I've been busy. She shakes her head. She's like, God, what is going on with you? It's my ADHD. I'm getting it. It's just got to be this way. But all joking aside, I'm always making plans. That just keeps me settled so I can rest at night. Most of these things don't even happen, but I've got something written down somewhere. But I've learned through trial and error and various levels of success that once I make a plan, I just got to leave it alone. I got to put it at the foot of God's throne, and I got to pray on it. And just let it sit there and let God and me kind of sort of marinate on where this is going to go, what his timing might look like. Because usually, if it's a plan on my heart or your heart, there's something there. Don't abandon your plans. Think big. You've got to have big plans and big dreams, or God can't move. But you want to make sure you're in alignment with where he is with all of these things. I may grumble when my plan isn't turned, it gets turned around or reordered. But his way always works smoother. In the end, when it's all said and done and I look back and I've had overtime and I can armchair quarterback this thing a week later, I'm like, yeah, there was God. That was really good. I couldn't have even figured that out. It's always smoother, quicker, cheaper, gentlemen, always cheaper, cheaper. Trust God, it's always cheaper than anything that I've researched. Just as a quick side note, we were blessed and we went and made a big purchase a few weeks ago and we really had some things come in alignment, and it was a really great thing on one end, but I was really doing a lot of research on how to get the best deal and what to do, and because of COVID, a lot of this took place online with text and emailing, and I don't know, 60 or 70 emails over about 2 weeks in trying to work this deal down. The number didn't move, and I am upset. Because if the question is, did you get a good deal? No, we didn't, because the price was here, and what everybody else in the world says it's worth is here, and we couldn't move. But we were able to get what we wanted, how we wanted, on time, and everything else worked out. All the other numbers worked out. I just wanted more, because that's what the research said we should be at. So anyway, we finished that up, but the point was, regardless of what I ended up doing, I was driving my wife nuts. Because I need to keep her in the loop, but too much information was getting her frustrated, and I wasn't necessarily enjoying having to go back and forth. I just wanted to make sure that every dollar that we spend of God's money is rightfully spent, and I wasn't about to just throw his money away on this purchase. So that was where I was really getting kind of caught up. So finally, we got to a point. I laid all the stuff out for her, and I said, where's your comfort level? She said, I'm fine. I said, fine, we'll go get this thing tomorrow. And we did. So my point is, I had a plan, but I was really leaning on God to direct my steps. I knew we were going there, and I had to keep reassuring her, we're going to get this. I just want to make sure I've done my due diligence as the husband, as the leader in the house, that we're doing all we can to make sure that we're taking God's resources and using them well. So anyway, as I boldly pray for larger and expanded borders and influence, I frequently get reminded to step back, to step down, to turn around, and tend what I already have. There's a lot of humility to have to do that because we're always, pushing. We're pushing, folks. We're always pushing. I want you to step back. I want you to examine how downward mobility might just flip this whole script on its head for you. There's a balance in expanding and maintaining. And the formula God laid out for us, be humble, take it to the throne, trust in his timing, remain ready to go, and let God direct your steps. So that's our message for today, maintaining our boundaries, downward mobility. I want us to try that. Let's close in prayer. How's my time? Oh, perfect. Is the worship team coming back up? Yes, worship team, you guys can come back up. Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord God. We thank you for your words of encouragement and guidance and wisdom. We ask that you provide us opportunities, Lord, to find in our day, with all that's going on, what you have for us, Lord God. Set our path straight. Keep us healthy. Keep us safe. Keep us covered under your wings at this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're very welcome.
You've been listening to Chaplain Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kaʻau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.